Well, the second round of Brazil's presidential elections happens on Sunday, which is Monday in Australia. What could Brazil look like under the leadership of the frontrunner, the far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro? Bolsonaro narrowly missed out on a majority in the first round, so he'll face Fernando Haddad of the left-wing Workers' Party. But polls are leaning towards a Bolsonaro victory. He's got the style and the slogans of a demagogue and the affection for Brazil's military regime of the 1970s and 80s. And he fits easily into this list of strongmen leaders around the world. Putin, Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines, maybe even Donald Trump. So while it's easy, though, to have these comparisons, some are looking at Brazil's own past to see if this could be a case of history repeating itself. Joining us now is Sarah Maslin of The Economist. She's based in São Paulo. Sarah, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Is there a disguised military coup in the process right now in Brazil?
Well, what a question. I think most people agree that the risk of a military coup is pretty low. Brazilian institutions are strong, and most Brazilian people don't want that, as frustrated as they are with crime and corruption and economic woes. That said, we are going to see a more militarized cabinet. Bolsonaro has spoken of bringing in the military through the ballot box and has floated the names of a lot of generals for his kind of main honchos in government. So we can expect a kind of more, conservative, authoritarian government, although most people think that the risk of a coup is pretty low. Mm.
Conservative is one thing, but the reason I asked if it were a disguised military coup, Sarah, is what has Bolsonaro said about life under the military junta in the 70s and 80s?
Well, yeah, he loved it. He's spoken very fondly about the dictatorship and, said it was necessary to fight the communists of the time, and spoke of the need for that kind of iron-fisted government now to deal with Brazil's problems. So I think that there's plenty of reason to take him for his word in terms of the kind of, how he views what government should be. That said, there's a lot of other people, including the military itself, who would try to stop him. The military, has said that they have kind of no interest in governing anymore. And, some people think that they could be kind of a hold on him rather than gleefully trying to, take Brazil back.
Just remind us, if you would, about that period in the 70s and 80s under the military junta, because it governed with US support. What was life like then?
Well, it was part of this regional time when there was a real, scare across the region of all of Latin America sort of falling like dominoes to be like Cuba or like Russia. And you saw the U.S., as you mentioned, backing a lot of the right-wing movements to stifle left-wing opposition. And Brazil's dictatorship was a lot less bloody than, say, Argentina, where, the number is sort of 30,000 people are thought to have been disappeared, which is sort of the word they use for killed. Here in Brazil, the number was in the hundreds. But you saw a lot of restrictions on freedom, on the press. While a lot of kind of middle-class people went about their lives as usual, students and artists and activists suffered very much under the dictatorship.
Let's talk about some of the parallels between the people who support Bolsonaro. Are they nostalgic for the era of the military junta?
Well, of course, some of them are. And you know, Bolsonaro's supporters at this point, he's sort of polling near 60%. So that includes a wide range of people. You've got a core group of passionate supporters who have been with him for, you know, the past couple of years as he's arisen to popularity on the back of you know, statements praising the dictatorship and saying all sorts of offensive things about different groups of people. So certainly some of that base might like to see a kind of a military regime, but you also have, you know, the majority of people voting for him who are just fed up with Brazilian politicians and fed up with the left-wing party that oversaw corruption scandals, for the past kind of decade that all of the parties participated in. So they see Bolsonaro, you know, despite some of this more radical stuff as an outsider who can clean things up.
It's Saturday Extra. Andrew West in for Geraldine. I'm speaking with Sarah Maslin of The Guardian. She's based in São Paulo, and we're talking about the Brazilian elections. One thing that fascinates...
The Economist.
I'm sorry, The Economist. Forgive me. Forgive me, Sarah.
That's all right.
Forgive me, The Economist. Look, one thing fascinates and slightly confuses me. Was it not the case that the former left-wing president, President Lula, that was his nickname, but he was leading the polls and seemed to be very comfortably in front, then because he's been convicted of corruption, he can't run. How does support switch from Lula to Bolsonaro, who would seem to be at absolute polar opposites on the spectrum?
Well, you've put your finger on sort of some of the crazy elements of this election, one of them being that the person who was leading the polls for months was doing so from a jail cell. The reason Lula was so popular is that people associate him with a time at which
We're talking with Sarah Maslin of The Economist.
Thank you. A time at which Brazil really came out of, into a period of real prosperity. Millions of people came out of poverty. You saw people entering university for the first time, taking airplane flights for the first time. And so people... excuse me.
That's quite all right, Sarah. Do you...
People really view... I'm now it's been quite dusty here in Sao Paulo lately. Excuse me. People viewed Lula as, as this figure who changed their lives for the better. And many of those same people who voted for Lula indeed are now voting for Bolsonaro, and that speaks to something in Brazilian politics, which is it often it's the personalities rather than the parties that that really carry someone to victory at the ballot box.
The language of Bolsonaro's campaign also recalls the language of the junta before him. His slogan is Brazil above all, God above everyone. What's that rhetoric meant to, or how is that rhetoric meant to connect?
Well, it's interesting because you see, you see Bolsonaro supporters are showing up at the polling booths wearing the yellow of the Brazilian flag or the yellow and green of the Brazilian flag, and so that sort of suggests that Bolsonaro does represent Brazil as a whole, and that's the image that he's wanted to project. But on the other hand, you have a whole lot of people who he has said hateful things about, minorities, indigenous people, homosexuals, and so it's sort of ironic that that he has this kind of Brazil above all, or my people is all of Brazil, when actually he's spoken against certain groups. But I think what he's also speaking to is this nationalist rhetoric that you see across the world. You see it in Trump. You see it in a lot of the kind of right-wing figures who have come to the forefront in Europe. And you see it here in Bolsonaro, this idea that that Brazil needs to focus on itself, and things like the Paris Climate Accord and other kind of trade agreements are not what's needed for right now, and that instead Brazil should be focusing on kind of getting itself back on track. Yeah. That's a real question mark about whether he'll come through with that once he's in government.
Well, look, just finally, Sarah, what is your prediction for the election this weekend?
Oh, I would be very rich if I knew what to say about what was going to happen. I mean, I think most people think it's extremely likely that Bolsonaro will win. It would take quite a miracle for Fernando Haddad, the left-wing candidate, to come back. So I can comfortably predict the Bolsonaro victory. But what his government will look like and where some of these concerns that people have about democracy and the quality of Brazilian institutions and the quality of a life for some of these groups of people who are more threatened by Bolsonaro's presidency, I can't really say. This is an unprecedented election, an unprecedented figure, so I think we're all really waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, his party, his political party is actually very small. Very, very quickly, will his party or its allies have a majority in the Congress?
Well, his party was called a dwarf party in Congress until this election, but partly on the wave of his popularity and the frustration with the traditional Brazilian parties, they came to be the second biggest party in the House. That said, there are around 30 parties in Congress. It's an extremely fragmented Congress, so he's going to have to form a coalition with some of the more centrist parties in order to be able to govern. So that's another big question of how he'll do that, with what kind of rhetoric, and will he be able to get the reforms, economic and political, path that Brazil needs.
Great to talk to you. Sarah Maslin is with The Economist. She's based in São Paulo. I hope the air quality gets better there, Sarah, so you're not coughing your way through the next term of a presidency.
Indeed.
Thanks for being with us on Saturday Extra.
Well, thank you very much for having me.